Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings, they're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Club and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself, because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
Fall into big savings, all in the Kroger app. Buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up with your card. Then get three-pound packs of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $2.99 a pound with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What would you say to people who are thinking about quitting and saying, I'm just going full-fledged on my business right now, like, that's what I'm going to do? What would you say to them if they are, like, on the verge of doing that within the next few months?
First, be honest with yourself, because if you built for it, then do what you do. But if you're not built for it and you got a little bit of hesitation, I would rather you have a conversation with your job about aspirational shit and figure out how it makes sense, right? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes we be a little bit too sneaky, and I think jobs understand that times are changing.
Yeah.
And they understand, like, you know, even executives, like, you know, you could be a top executive at a company, but if you own 20 properties, that's another job.
Yeah.
Nobody's judging them. If you a CEO and own 20 properties, you own 100 rental properties, that's a whole job. You got a whole staff. Nobody judges that person. You know what I mean? So I think right now, keep it as long as you can until the job becomes a problem. Until you start feeling like you can't do stuff. You know what I mean?
It's the girl CEO show. Run it up. Always on the grind. You already know what's up. Everything from dating to life in the business. Covering it all like a boss. Come and get this. It's the girl CEO show. Yeah.
Hey, Girl CEOs, welcome to the Girl CEO Podcast, the playground for female entrepreneurs. We are having a special guest today, and we're going to have a good time. I have a very good friend of mine here joining us, Marcus. Marcus is doing some amazing things in his field. We're going to talk a little bit about how far he's come and how you guys out there can learn from his blueprint and journey. Go ahead and introduce yourself, Marcus, and tell everyone who you are and a little bit about what you do.
For sure. Marcus Allen, co-founder of Broccoli City, graduate of North Carolina A&T. I've known Ronnie for hella long, for like, shit, probably like 18, 17. I had moved to D.C. and she was up here working. And we just met on some random shit, so it's good to be here on the podcast. You know what I mean?
So, crazy thing is, it's been 17 years.
Yeah.
I've known Marcus for 17 years. This was back when you was selling embroidering to, like, attorneys on their suits. I worked at a law firm at the front desk.
Yep.
And you was coming in there harassing my lawyers, trying to get them to buy stuff for
Facts.
Me.
All the black women lawyers.
So, you've been hustling for a long time.
For sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
So, let's talk a little bit about how you got started with Broccoli City.
Super random. I mean, honestly, my best friend said Broccoli City in a rap. I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina, so that's where the name came from. He ended up moving to LA after college, and this was like the start of all the streetwear companies, Crooks and Castles, Johnny Cupcakes, Azure. Like, that was like the start of all that. We like, yo, we gonna make our own joint and call it Broccoli City. So we started having these events to promote the clothes. And the events end up just popping better. You know what I mean? So the events ended up being a situation where everybody came to the events to try to get free clothes, which was not really the plan. We weren't selling shit. You know what I mean? So we just realized that it was like, oh, okay, it's not really the event. I mean, it's not really the clothes. It's the events. But the clothes is like a part of how we kind of got it out there. And so that was the start of it. It happened very randomly. we ended up doing the first, I guess, Broccoli City Festival. It was called Global Coolin' though, in 2010, downtown LA.
Wow. And then you guys just said, maybe we need to pivot from selling clothes.
Yeah.
And we gonna start throwing some parties and some events.
For sure.
And taking it to the next level. So tell me about the first event you all threw and how that actually went.
That shit was good. Downtown LA. All the clothes, so the concept was like, it was like black sustainability. You know what I mean? It was like urban Earth Day type of vibe. So we always had kind of an impact message to it. And so the first event was like an Earth Day celebration. It was called Global Coolin'. Dom Kennedy, Kendrick Lamar, Pac Div, very LA lineup. But this was when you know, Kendrick was like a young bull, you know what I'm saying? Like, so he wasn't really, you know what I mean? He wasn't really at it yet. That was West Side of Love 1, Dom Kennedy, which was really popping at the time. And so it was great. We did like 1,000 people. And that was the start, for real.
Yeah, so how did y'all come up with the funds to kind of like get these artists starting off?
I mean, at that time, I mean, artists really wasn't making no money, so the risk wasn't crazy, right? I mean, we probably put like, you know, $15,000 or something in it. So it wasn't like a big time risk at that time, but obviously shortly thereafter, the shit did get a little crazy with like, you know, trying to get artists and investors and all of that, for sure.
And then you guys decided that we were just going, we're going to just do this every year.
Yeah. Yeah. Nah, but what it was though, I had ended up moving to DC. That was around that same time I came out here. I had changed jobs. I got stopped doing that with the lawyers and ended up doing government contracting. And this was like DC motherfuckers would know, like, you know, like Shadow Room times,
oh, yeah, I remember
Josephine's, where like
Club Love.
Yeah, yeah. Like everything was like the weekday though. Like you had to go out during the weekday. And so this was probably like 2009. And so it was just crazy to me that like cats would go out Tuesday night, stay out till 3 a.m, 4 a.m, go hard, and then go to a government job and be there at 9 a.m, act like ain't shit happened, and do that shit again the next day. You know what I'm saying? In LA, they was doing the same thing, but nobody had no money.
Got it.
Everybody wanted to get in for free. Motherfuckers here had like good ass jobs. So I was like, nah, we need to do that shit here. And so 2013, we brought the concept to DC, Broccoli City Festival, at the Bullpen in Navy Yard.
Love it. And you were like, we doing this, we going crazy with it. How long was it after starting Broccoli City that you decided, like, I'm walking away from the government job? Because you played the government for quite a while on the
left. Yeah, shit, nah, for a minute. Fuck that. You know what I'm saying? My lifestyle is, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, let's talk about that. Because, you know, right now we are in social media time. And everybody's kind of like, quit your job, fire your balls, you know, leave your...
Niggas is setting you up.
Really? All right, well, tell me why you think that.
Because anybody who ever, say you're trying to buy a house, anybody who ever bought a house know, as an entrepreneur, it's so much easier just to have a W-9. Like, even as an entrepreneur, you got more money and cash. The bank, for some reason, would rather have a corporate entity saying they paying you $10,000 a month. Like, that's more value to a bank when you're trying to buy something.
Yeah.
So just having that is value. You know what I'm saying? Like, just being able to get assets with ease is value. Especially if it's not, like, stressing you. Now, if it's stressing you, you're fucking up your business. That's something else, though.
So do you think they have to play both?
I mean, one, it depends on how much money you're making.
Okay.
And two, it depends on how tight your books is. You know what I'm saying? Like, if your book's not tight, you better get a gig. Because they're going to play with you when you try to go get some shit. You know what I'm saying? Or unless you got a good accountant. You know what I'm saying? Like,
shout out to the accountant.
but yeah, nah, like, that's... Especially, like, you talking about jumbo loans. Like, maybe smaller shit. But, like, you start getting into some shit, like, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. You know what I mean? And so I just think, to me, I set a number. I'm like, listen, I would like to have X number per month.
Mm-hmm.
Why does it matter how you get to that number? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you did it 5,000 from OnlyFans, 3,000 from a job, 2,000 from some other shit, as long as you get to your number, you know what I mean? Like, why are you even caught up in that type of shit? That's my personal opinion.
So you think that a lot of people are, like, quitting these jobs, firing their bosses?
Oh, they lost in the sauce.
Because they lost in the sauce and social media has to feel like...
they lost in the sauce. They'll be back.
Yeah.
They'll be back. Give them 18 months. They'll be back.
Because entrepreneurship is really hard. And then let's just talk about this healthcare. You know, healthcare is like
Just that.
Just
especially
that.
If you got some kids.
Oh my goodness. Who are you telling? Like literally, it's expensive out here.
Shit is and a I whole always bag. Tell And people, don't let nobody actually get sick.
Yeah.
Like God, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like God forbid somebody actually gets sick. That shit is crazy.
Yeah. So you were like, I'm playing my job chilling. And I'm doing this. How many years were you?
I had that gig till shit, like right before COVID, like 18, 19. Because I'm work from home. Nobody check in. I do what I want. You know, why would I quit that?
Yeah.
That sounds foolish to me.
So you were co-owner Broccoli City.
Yes.
And y'all was selling like
yes,
30,000 yes. tickets to a concert.
Yes. And everybody knew it. And I just gave everybody tickets. I wasn't hiding it no more. There was a time where I was concerned, like I was self-conscious about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But then it got to a point where it's like, I'm on whole NBC. I'm on the whole Washington Post.
It's still going.
Nigga, that's you. Like, you. What is this?
It's still going to work. Yeah.
I'm here. I need my direct deposit. Where's my W-9 at the end of the year? Like, let's file that tax. Like, why would you do that?
Yeah, and it worked out.
100%.
Smartest thing you could have done. What would you say to people who are thinking about quitting and saying, I'm just going full-fledged on my business right now. Like, that's what I'm going to do. What would you say to them if they are, like, on the verge of doing that within the next few months?
Mm-hmm. First, be honest with yourself.
Yeah.
That's number one. Because if you built for it, then do what you do. You know what I'm saying? But if you're not built for it and you got a little bit of hesitation, I would rather you have a conversation with your job about aspirational shit and figure out how it makes sense, right? You know what I mean? Like, sometimes we be a little bit too sneaky, and I think jobs understand that times are changing.
Yeah.
And they understand, like, you know, even executives, like, you know, you could be a top executive at a company, but if you own 20 properties, that's another job.
Yeah.
Nobody's judging them. If you a CEO and own 20 properties, you own 100 rental properties, that's a whole job. You got a whole staff. Nobody judges that person. So I think you just got to have them conversations. You know what I'm saying? We can't be so so scary. You know what I mean? Because everybody got little hustles. You know what I mean? And so sometimes you just got to be honest and be like, listen, I got this going on. On Thursdays and Fridays, I might need to leave early. He's gonna say, I don't give a fuck. As long as you get my job, as long as you get your shit done, that's all people care about. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I think right now, keep it as long as you can until the job becomes a problem. Until you start feeling like you can't do stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What was it for you when you were like, this is it, I'm done, it's time to walk away?
They started hating.
Oh.
Yeah, they started hating. But it had gotten, you know what I mean? It had gotten out of hand at that point. I mean, I had just taken it as far as it could go.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? To the point where, like, you know, they were starting to hire me for outside gigs. Like, that was the, I had gotten just too much strength into the organization. So it was just, you know.
It
worked itself out.
So how long has the Broccoli City been up and running now?
Since 2013, 10 years.
10 years. So yeah. What are some of the most valuable things that you've learned in business over the last 10 years?
Partnerships is key. Building a brand. And, you know, you're going to hate this. Just, you know, building a brand without your face on it. You know what I mean? I think it's changing. But I think that creates the opportunity for you to sell something.
Okay.
You know what I mean? When you got a brand that is not so connected to your personal being, people start to feel like that is something that they can own too. Sometimes, like, selling something is just the thought of somebody else having it themselves.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So having your face on it, people think like, well, I can't buy that, because what happens if something happens to that person? Will the business be able to expand itself? And so, like, you know, what we created was a scenario where, you know, we just promoters at the end of the day, we just promoters, curators, producers of events. But because there was no real face on it, you know, people saw value in it in a way like, oh, I can see where I can put influence, resources, and make this bigger.
Yeah.
To say like, oh, I want to buy into that. You know what I mean? And so I think that was the biggest difference than us and anybody else who've been promoting, doing shows, doing whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
Can you sell it though? Is it a business?
And you all recently sold some shares of your business.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that because I feel like, you know, in the Black community, primarily when Black people sell some of their business, all of their business, whatever the case may be, it is kind of frowned upon. Like, what is that?
I don't know. I don't know. That shit is just the most hater shit ever. I'm so
do
like.
Do you think it's because of lack of education?
I don't know. Like, I mean, even as recent when Coach and P sold part of QC, like 100 M's, and you like, are you that selfish? Niggas is that selfish where niggas is mad. Like, just think about that. Like, listen, like they're mad that they sold some shit for 100 million. Just so that they can say that it's owned by them alone.
Yeah.
The logic of that is so illogical that it don't even make no sense. Like, what they want them to do, just own it forever for no reason and just constantly just work hard and just, that shit just don't make no sense. Yeah. I don't know why that hater shit is like that though.
Yeah, I just think it like, maybe it's the lack of education when it comes to doing raises. You know, we have people like Monique, who's like a friend of mine, who just, you know, went through that whole process with Mayo Organics, and just it's like it automatically comes off as a negative thing. And meanwhile, like, we're celebrating her, we're rooting for her because like she's building a legacy, but people really don't understand the raising and, and the selling. Why do you think it's so important for Black people to raise money and sell businesses?
Because even when businesses lose in that situation, you still walk away with generational wealth. That's why people be serial entrepreneurs, because if you structure the deals right, even in the losses, company goes away, dissolves. They never talk about what the CEO walked away with.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? Like, WeWork, shit is basically gone. That nigga ate. That nigga probably made 100 million. You make 100 million on a loss, somebody mad at you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's what it's about, for real, for real. Like, it's about building brands and selling brands. You know what I'm saying? If you can't sell it, then you built something that's a great business, but it's not a business that somebody else can see themselves owning and making money off of. Like, that's the key. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, we talked about your consulting business. It's like, when you do the coaching, like, that's a business for you.
Yeah.
Herlistic is a business to be sold and built. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, like, as long as you know what each of them are for, you good. You know what I'm saying? Like, you good, because as long as each of them are separate businesses, separate LLCs, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's the win right there. You know what I mean?
One of the things that I know is that the mindset is going to shift sooner when we start to get educated on the process of raising and what that really looks like and why people of other ethnicities are doing these rounds and these raises and selling and then starting these new companies. And I just feel like we are a little behind when it comes to that conversation. Broccoli City is also transitioning to more of an educational platform as well. What are you all doing to educate African-American people when it comes to, you know, business, entrepreneurship, raising and selling?
You honestly, like, even from our own model and even what I spoke about on jobs, like, we trying to even think about jobpreneurs, right?
Okay.
Because the thought around how do you leverage your job, like, how do you leverage your 401k, like, how do you leverage these things to build businesses in the process, right? How do you maintain your lifestyle? Because that's really what we talking about. Like, how do you build a business and maintain some level of a lifestyle? Because, you know, it is what it is. Like, you know, what Cameron say? You need to get your man a brick.
Yeah.
You need to feed your mans. Like, when you out trying to build a business and cats can tell your shit ain't right, cats can feel that on you. Like, your man's not eating.
Yeah.
That bag is from about 6 years ago. I don't know what's happening. You know what I'm saying? And not to say you got a floss, but activity breed activity. It costs money just to be places.
Yeah.
Just to go out, it cost you some money. The Uber costs some money. That little two drinks, that little appetizer, like, just being active costs money. If you fucked up to just do the basics and you building your business, how you gonna build your business?
It's
really
hard.
I mean, it's just, it's rough. That shit rough. It's stressful.
Yeah. One thing that you guys do differently from everyone else is you guys are very intentional with strategic corporate partnership.
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like you all were way ahead of, you know, the ball game when it came to corporate partnerships. How important is it for like these black owned businesses and small businesses to get in front of these corporate companies and understand that there is some cultural capital out there waiting for them on the other side of
things? It's the key. It's the same thing as the equity conversation. Like cats like, oh, you got Amazon as a sponsor. Niggas is, you know, they doing X, they doing Y. It's like, man, y'all tripping. Like Amazon is too big to be playing with. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got to do more deals with bigger brands as a collective community, just because that's the fastest way to like make your shit like exponentially faster. You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't know other way. You know what I mean?
You feel like people are working harder versus smarter by not
for sure
reaching out to these brands?
For sure. Honestly, I don't think people know how much money the deals be worth. I don't even think people have a context of like, you know, a $1 or $2 million deal over 4 years. Like just knowing that you got that for 3-4 years locked in, that's beautiful. You know what I'm saying? Like, and you, they send you the deliverables and that shit be like, oh, you got to do 6 social posts. We need a, you know what I'm saying? We need this amount of paid advertisement. We need this type of space at the festival. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's like the value is virtually nothing. You know what I mean? Like, you're not really buying nothing. And it's like, why would you not want that?
Well, tell us a little about that. Like, what was your first big deal where you were like, man, like, this is really happening?
And how Toyota.
How did you land it?
Toyota. I don't know how we landed. I don't even remember. But they gave us $100,000. That was probably like 20, that was 2016 with Future.
Wow.
Yep. It was like 80, 100,000. That was the first big deal. And all they had was like social media, and they had put Toyota Priuses out on the festival and people could like sit in them. It was like a ride and drive. They cut us a bag and I'm like, oh, this is it. Because you got to think, like, you just add that into your books. You selling these tickets, but somebody just dropped $100,000 into your book. You like, what is this? Not many tickets $100,000 is, and you selling them for $100? Yes. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you working hard to sell what? Tickets.
And then you just drop a ticket. You like, oh, this is over.
This is it.
It's over.
Hey, Girl CEOs. This episode is brought to you by Herlistic, your number one beauty and wellness brand for women who prioritize self-care, want it all, and prefer it delivered. Shop now at www.shopherlistic.com. And if this is your first purchase, use code SELFCARE to get 15% off.
And then how did that shift your direction for like your focus as far as getting those partnerships moving forward, where y'all like going head on with
it changed how we like produced it. It changed how we like shot it from a content perspective. It changed like the content and the data that we were collecting and paying attention to. Cause sometimes you be gathering so much information, it'd be the shit they don't even care about.
Yeah.
You sending them all this shit. They like, man, all we need to know is X, Y, and Z. You like,
what are the things that you think that they're most concerned about?
They want you to be able to tell them cleanly how they fit in. They're not going to come to you and be like, hey, we want to be there this way. Like, they want you to tell them, hey, Amazon, we know you are focusing on incubating black businesses on Amazon. We have a black marketplace that happens at Broccoli City Festival. We want you to come curate, and we want you to educate these people how they can also be on Amazon. Oh, that's great. We love that. We love that. We can see how we can come in. Could we come when they're setting up and we can walk around and talk to them and show them about our service? Yes, you can do that 100%. They'll be there all day from 8 to 10. You can talk to them all day.
But people don't even know that. I think that sometimes when they're sending the decks out, like, you're waiting for the company to give you the play.
Because it's a nigga like us on the other side.
Yeah.
We just got a job. So at the end of the day, unless somebody tell me exactly what it is, you think I'm going through this deck and really reading it? I'm looking at the pictures like, oh, this is cool.
Yeah.
My cousin probably went to this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not looking at it word for word. Like, cats is skimming. Unless somebody say, oh, this, okay, this how it is. Oh, I can see that.
Yeah.
You got to make it easy for them. That's really the key. The deck's got to make it easy for them. You got to lay it up into the email, and then the deck just support it. And you got to get on the phone with them. If they won't get on the phone or the Zoom with you, you can't do no business with them.
Yeah, for sure. And you guys have had probably over a million plus in sponsorships.
We do it. We try to do a million a year minimum.
Wow.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all.
Yeah.
Sponsorships.
Yeah, nah, for
sponsorships.
Sure.
Stop playing small with these sponsorships.
Facts.
You know, another thing that I admire about Broccoli City, and not many people know this, is that you're partners in this business with your friends.
Mm-hmm.
So let's dive into this, because you know people say, like, you cannot do business
for sure
with your friends.
Yeah, we talked about this yesterday. I think we got to figure out, is it your friend or is it your homie you get money with?
There's a difference.
There's a complete difference. You
and
know
people
what I'm saying?
Confuse the two.
Facts.
Because people will slap friend.
Facts.
On anything that they
facts.
Are getting,
or you
money.
Just have been around somebody.
Yeah.
Like, you've been at jobs for 5 years. You leave. You talk to somebody. You've been doing lunch 5 years, Monday through Friday, every week.
Yeah.
You leave. You don't talk to the nigga for 10 years after that. You
that's
see
not
him.
Your friend.
I'm just saying, but that's how it be. Like that's how
friend.
It be. Like you don't really care about this person. You like you have like you know like compassion like as a person. But when they not in your life because you gonna see them, like you really don't care like that. You
mm-hmm.
know what I'm saying? So I'm really talking about a real friend. Like I know him cuz since forever, you know what I mean? Like our families did vacation at beaches and all kinds of stuff like that. So that's really my homie. And so we don't have no egos, you know what I mean? Like we curse each other out, we go hard at each other, but it ain't like no personal shit. It's just like, yo, you just a dumbass nigga. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was just some dumbass shit. You know what I mean? Like, if you can't call it as it is, it's like, I'm not even comfortable. Like, I got to be able to say what I'm feeling. Like, if it was something dumb and you fucked it up, then you fucked it up.
So y'all just straight out with each other?
Yeah, because niggas be fucking up.
Yeah.
Niggas be fucking up. And I can't hold that shit in.
So fuck. How have y'all kept the glue together?
By not holding it in.
Yeah.
And just saying whatever it is at the time. Because we know it ain't like, that's what it be. It's like you sitting there like, damn, this nigga fucked it up. And then you quiet, don't want to say nothing. Now you just holding that.
You just got to tell him.
I can't even wait a second. Like, I can't wait a second. I got to. You know what I'm saying? You got to say that shit. You got
B, I feel so sorry for
but he the same
B.
way. He the
B,
same
I
way.
I know you be giving B a hard time.
Facts, because he be fucking up. But that's my nigga when you fucking up.
So where do y'all look? Where are y'all taking Broccoli City the next 5 years?
I think we're gonna really lock into Gen Z Black women.
Mm.
You know what
Tell
I mean?
Us why.
I think they the wave. I'm just gonna bet on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm just gonna bet on it. I feel like how culture is changing. I think how content creators, like if you really look at like how the content is being created. It may get big by somebody else, but it's like, who's creating it? Like,
yeah.
Who's birthing the vibes of it? And I think it's Black women, you know what I'm saying? So we locked in on under 30 Black women all day. That's
yeah.
what we own.
How integral has Black women been to Broccoli
Shit,
City over the
everything.
Last 10 years?
They everything. They 65% of everything we do, online, in person, ticket buyers, data, everything. So like, everything we do in terms of how we curate the lineups, how we create the designs, like everything is like with the thought of a Black woman looking at it.
Wow. And you all have a festival coming up?
Yep. We got a festival coming up July 15th and 16th. First time in the summer. You know what I mean?
I'm excited about that.
Me too. I think it's going to be very.
It rained last time.
And cold. It's cold as a motherfucker. So yeah, that was like the last straw.
Yeah.
So we in the summertime. I think it's going to be crazy. July 15th and 16th. Crazy lineup, though. You know what I mean? Like Brent, Uzi, Jasmine, Ice Spice, Coco Jones, Glorilla, City Girls, Saucy Santana.
Oh, it's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy. Yeah, we got some special shit coming, too. So I'm happy about it. It's
yeah.
definitely going to be a vibe.
How have y'all incorporated small Black-owned businesses this year?
For sure. So, I mean, we do probably 35 vendor spaces for small businesses every year. So we'll continue that on. But we got such great partners who are going to come on and serve them as, you know what I mean, incubators. Shout out to those partners when those announcements come. But yeah, nah, like we just happy to like add value to the small business community and leverage, you know, relationships that we have to, you know, feed into them and to pour into them.
Yeah, to the young Black boys who are out here like watching this, or the young men that are tuning in and watching this today, and they have a vision of doing events on you guys' level. You all have about, what, 15,000, 20,000 people coming out to your festivals.
30, but that's something else, though. You know what I mean? 30 a day. But that's,
correction. Yeah. 30,000 people showing up to a festival. What would you say to the next generation of, you know, festival planners that are thinking about doing something like this?
If you want to do festivals, you got to really love that shit. But let's just say events, because that shit, I don't wish that shit on nobody, to be honest with you. But just on the event side, I think understanding that the key to doing events is doing a lot of them. And the only way you can do a lot of them is by having a good team. And you got to just know that and just trust that if you invest in your team, it will give you the capacity to do more shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I think that's something that took me a while. We took on a lot of shit on our own shoulders. Took on a whole lot of work that was unnecessary when I could have just paid somebody.
Why do you think that Black-owned businesses, we try to do it all? Maybe it's because lack of funds.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably definitely one, lack of funds.
Maybe a little bit of trust.
Two, it's trust. Three, it's also we be a bit too controlling over not seeing something. It's not just about getting it done. It's about getting it done how we want to see it. And that's where the shit be a problem. Yeah. Because it's like, you might actually find out a new finesse. Like my daughter be telling me, like, she be doing math and shit. And she like, oh, no, that's a new hack you can do. It's a new hack you can do to get to that number. And I'm like, that shit is like, that's whack that you're doing it like that. But whatever, like, how am I hate? Because you got the answer. You know, I don't know this way.
Yeah.
But you got the answer. So it is what it is. I think we got to be open to hacks.
Yeah. One of the things that I'm also noticing that's a hack is that y'all are finally getting more active on social media.
For sure.
Now, I have been beating you over the head for like
we just hired somebody, Ronnie. Fuck
15
it.
Years.
We just hired them
to do social. Y'all are like showing up. Yeah. How important is it now? Because at one point in time, you didn't feel like it was important. It's like, hey, we got thousands of people coming out. What do we need to focus on this for? What changed?
Them sponsored deals. I started. They like, oh, if you had more so-and-so, like, it's like, all right.
So it matters.
Yeah, no, it matters. Yeah. It matters. And I think not just the numbers, though, but like how the content looks, how it's presented, you know, how a sponsor can see themselves in the grid and in the stories, like that matters as well. So having a consistency that people can follow gives them a pathway to kind of knowing how they fit in. And we didn't have consistency. It was like, it was very like, it was based on the things that we were producing. And so like, okay, Broccoli City Festival is happening. Then it looks like that. Then it's like, oh, it's BroccoliCon. Then it looks like that. Yeah. Then it's like, you know what I mean?
There was no consistent curated content.
For sure. There. For sure. So that's like, now our team is like, oh, okay, we got this coming. This is how we can fit it into the aesthetic. Okay, this is coming. So everything is like linear, not just like random shit.
You know, at the beginning of the interview, you had made a comment about like building a brand without your face on
it. For sure.
And for so long, you were just like not on social. You weren't putting yourself out there as like, you know, the co-founder of Broccoli City. Mm-hmm. Why are you coming out of the shell now?
Because time's changing. And I just realized like at the end of the day, like, in the midst of building all this shit, like, you know, I'm a bit of an expert, you know what I'm saying? Like, I done built 20 festival sites, you know what I mean? Probably like 15 different locations. Like, it's not a lot of Black people who can honestly say they done built and fucked up some shit, you know what I mean? People done maybe made some CADs, but like, you know, like, you don't really know how people flow in locations and like really be able to assess that shit. And so it's like, yo, you know, at the end of the day, like, everybody else popping their shit, so I'm just going to pop my shit too, you know what I mean?
So you coming on out.
Yeah, I'm just going to pop my shit, talk my shit a little bit. I learned a few things over the years, fucked up a lot of money, so might as well just share it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you all recently did a deal with Live Nation.
Yeah.
How did that feel?
I mean, my man came up with the name of the shit in a rap. So it's like the fact that somebody want to buy that.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. That shit is beautiful.
Yeah, were nice you bag. Nervous?
Hell nah. Nah. I was anxious.
Ready?
Yeah.
And how did that even come about?
2020, right before the pandemic, we had a monster festival. It got canceled because of COVID. We had a monster festival. We had sold like 36,000. All the numbers were just like crazy. And that was just like, it was undeniable. It was like, oh nah, these niggas is, they got some shit with them.
Yeah.
And it just became a thing where they started to realize that the talent community wanted to play the festival. Mm. So once like the talent started telling people like, nah, I don't want to do that. I'd rather do this.
So people was turning down bigger deals.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, we going to Rocky City.
Yeah, because you got to think all these other festivals is white people in the audience. So I just imagine you, Jasmine Sullivan. I'm just saying as her as an example, right? You done made this incredible music. You get booked at Lollapalooza. And we know we love C3, so this ain't no shot. But like you get booked Lollapalooza, you singing your songs that you done made about a black man. I'm just saying that may not be true either. But then you got all these white people in the audience.
Yeah.
So like, you know, as a creative, you want to see the music performed in front of what you think your fans are. But if you're in an arena, that's like 12,000. Where can I go and see 30,000 niggas like singing that shit back to front? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Got called Broccoli City. You know what I'm saying?
And that was a game changer.
Yeah, that was key. That was one part. It was a lot of other little shit. The whole, you know, honestly, the George Floyd shit and all that shit helped too.
Really?
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Shit, y'all know what it is. Representation matter. They need black people in the building.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, like, let's chop it up. What are we doing?
Yeah. And how have you all also used Broccoli City to continue to just use your voices and amplify the voices of, like, unity and fighting against racism and things like that?
Honestly, one, through the content. Two, through, like, always just being connected to the community at the ground level. We don't do the big talks, but we stay localized in terms of our focus, you know what I mean? So, you know, through volunteerism, through, you know, being connected to local ANCs in the D.C. area and really staying connected to the community leaders, like, that's where we are. We try not to get too big in what we do, you know what I mean? And just try to keep our conversations local. Yeah.
So this year, you all are about to host one of the biggest conferences. You got some crazy people coming mm-hmm. in. It's going to be a part of it. 5 years from now, what do you guys want to be doing?
We should be like at least $100 million brand. We'll be doing content. We'll be doing live events, tours. We'll be doing stuff for kids, high school stuff. You know what I mean? Like not just concert stuff, but just like activations, video game stuff, streaming kind of stuff.
Moving more into like technology and AI.
Just all fully aspects. You know what I mean? I don't even want to put a pin on what it might be. You know what I mean? But definitely under 30 black women will be at the top of whatever it is that we're doing.
Do you have a fear of AI?
It could get crazy. It could get crazy. But they'll regulate that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll regulate it.
All right. Thanks for being here today, Marcus. Tell everyone where they can check you and Broccoli City.
For sure. So Broccoli City is at Broccoli City. And you can find me at Marco_Broccolini on everything. Actually, only IG. I'll add me.
It's the Girl CEO Show. Run it up. Always on the grind. You already know what's up. Everything from dating and life in the business. Covering it all like a boss. Come and get this. It's the Girl CEO Show. Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you looking for legit ways to make extra money? Our friends at The Side Hustle Show have put together this cool free 60-second quiz to help you do just that. All you got to do is go to hustle.show. You can do it right from your phone. Answer a few short multiple choice questions, and it'll recommend a few episodes of the hit Side Hustle Show podcast to start with. You can add your personalized Side Hustle Show playlist to your device, learn what works, and start making more money today. Again, that's at hustle.show, or follow the award-winning Side Hustle Show in your favorite podcast app.